If I learn to do what God tells me to do without question, even when it seems absurd, even when it seems the exact opposite of my natural tendency, then I'm going to grow in faith and I'm going to get blessed. On the other hand, if you do not learn to obey when you don't understand it, when God says, I want you to do this, whether it seems like the wise thing or not, I want you to do this. If you don't do that, you will miss so many blessings in life that God had in store for you.
This is Daily Hope with Rick Warren. Most of the time, when you think of passing on a legacy, you think of leaving something to your loved ones. Money, a classic car, your home, jewelry, or maybe a family heirloom. Those are all nice things, but no thing lasts forever. Wouldn't you like to leave behind an inheritance that lasts into eternity? Today, as we continue with our series called Leaving a Lasting Legacy, Pastor Rick shares with us 6 indispensable biblical principles you need to pass on to the next generation to ensure their spiritual success, your legacy that will last into eternity. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part 1 of a message called Leaving a Legacy of Faith.
Now, the Bible says this at the top of your outline. I'd like to ask you to read it with me, Hebrews 11, verse 6. Let's read it together. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. The Bible says God is not looking for ritual in your life. He's not looking for rules in your life. He's not looking for regulation in your life. He's looking for a relationship. And since God cannot be seen, how do you have a relationship with an unseen God? Only by faith. God says your faith will be rewarded here on earth and in heaven as you learn to trust a God you can't see. And the Bible says it's impossible to please God unless you learn to trust him. Now, what does it mean to live by faith, and what does it mean to leave a legacy of faith? Well, a good example of leaving a legacy through multiple generations is what Paul said to his young co-worker in the Lord as he traveled around the Roman Empire during the Bible times. Up on the screen, Paul says to Timothy, I know that you sincerely trust the Lord, for you have the faith of your mother Eunice and your grandmother Lois. Lois was a woman of great faith who passed that faith on to her daughter, Eunice. Eunice passed that faith on to her son, Timothy. Timothy took that faith and spread it all over the Roman Empire with the Apostle Paul. 2 generations from now, will there be anybody spreading the faith because of you? Did you pass on your trust in God to anybody else? Well, you can't pass on faith until first you know what it is. What is faith? If you want to know what faith is, you have to go to the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter, which is God's Hall of Fame. It's the list of the giants of faith that God says, these men and women, they did good. They did it right. They lived their lives by faith. And what we're going to do today is go through that passage, Hebrews 11, verse by verse, as we look at how God says we live by faith. Faith is like a diamond. It's multifaceted. There is no single definition. But in this passage of Scripture, we find 7 definitions of what it means to live by faith. Now, if you only come to church one weekend a year, you picked a good weekend to come. Because this is the one that if you get it, you got it. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So how do I live by faith? 7 ways. Number 1, faith is believing when I don't see it. Faith is believing when I don't see it. And that's the first verse of Hebrews chapter 11. It says this, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Faith is visualizing the future. It is visualizing potential. It's seeing it in advance. Faith is believing it before you see it. Now, some people say, a lot of times you've heard this said, well, I'll believe it when I see it. And God says, actually, the exact opposite is true. You will see it when you first believe it. There are many things in life that have to be believed before they can be seen. Back in the 1960s, the Russians sent the first cosmonaut into outer space, Yuri Gagarin. And he circled the Earth, and when he came back down, he came out and did a press conference and said, "I searched the heavens and I looked for God, and I did not see him anywhere. Therefore, there is no God." And the communist, which was an atheistic regime, said, "We now have scientific proof that there is no God." About 6 months later, John Glenn, who later became a senator, went into space, circled the Earth three times in Gemini, came back down, held a press conference, and said, "I saw God everywhere. I saw his presence. I saw his glory in the galaxy. I saw his splendor in the universe. I saw his majesty in the stars. I felt him. I saw God everywhere." Which one was right? They both were. Jesus said, "Unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." You're just too narrow-minded to see it until you've had a spiritual transformation in your life. You've shut off the possibility of what God wants to do in your life. You're too narrow-minded. You have to have that transformation. Wernher von Braun, the father of the nuclear movement, said, "There has never been any great accomplishment in history without faith. It is faith that causes an architect to design a building because first he believes it can be done. It is a faith that causes an Olympic athlete to practice and go to the Olympic trials because they believe they can achieve. It is a sculptor or an artist who first believes that they can paint this picture before they attempt that sculpture. It is a scientist who first believes that we could put man on the moon that has to believe it before you see it. It is a universal principle of life."
The rest of today's message is coming your way in just a few moments. But first, if you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn, just go to rickwarren.org and click on his social media links. Oh, and while you're at it, go ahead and sign up for his free Daily Hope email devotional and take a look at all the helpful resources. Again, that's rickwarren.org, or just text the word daily to 313131. Again, that's the word daily to 313131. The second half of today's lesson is coming up.
It's no secret that the spiritual and moral foundation that built our country is crumbling to the core. Our nation is deteriorating, and many people are without hope. We need a dramatic awakening in our nation to save our people and restore them to spiritual health. If you share this burden, we would deeply appreciate your support in taking Pastor Rick's Daily Hope broadcast to hopeless and hurting people across our country and around the globe. That's why we want to invite you to work shoulder to shoulder with us in bringing our nation back from the brink by investing monthly as a partner in hope. Your sustained monthly support will help us continue to broadcast the life-transforming message of the gospel across our nation, on the air and online. And to say thanks when you give monthly to Daily Hope, Rick has asked us to send you a signed copy of the hardback gift edition of his devotional book, Daily Inspiration for the Purpose-Driven Life. So if you feel led to become a partner in hope, please let us know by calling 800-600-5004. That's 800-600-5004 today, or by visiting rickwarren.org. That's rickwarren.org. Your gift to Daily Hope helps us share the hope of Christ with people around the world. Thanks in advance for your support.
Once again, here's Rick.
Wernher von Braun, the father of the nuclear movement, said, "There has never been any great accomplishment in history without faith. It is faith that causes an architect to design a building because first he believes it can be done. It is a faith that causes an Olympic athlete to practice and go to the Olympic trials because they believe they can achieve. It is a sculptor or an artist who first believes that they can paint this picture before they attempt that sculpture. It is a scientist who first believes that we could put man on the moon that has to believe it before you see it. It is a universal principle of life." I believed that God was going to build a world-class church in Southern California long before he did it. Faith is believing when I don't see it, and it turns dreams into reality. Number two, faith is obeying when I don't understand it. And God gives us two examples of people who obeyed God when he told them to do something long before they understood why he had told them to do it. The first one is a guy named Noah. And in Hebrews 11, verse 7, it says this: it was by faith that Noah built an ark to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God, who warned him about something that had never happened. It had never rained prior to the flood. Did you know that? The Bible tells us that the plants of the world were watered by a condensation. It's like a dew that came up in the morning that covered a mist. And that's why when they saw the first rainbow, they were all surprised, because it had never rained. And God says, I want you to go build an ark. It's going to take about 100 years to build. And by the way, it's going to be a flood that carries it off. Now, what's a flood? Well, it's a bunch of rain. What's a rain? Well, we don't know. It's obeying God in advance. If God told you to build an ark, a big ship in your front yard, would you do it? Imagine being Noah's kids. They come home every day, and here's their dad, the crackpot, working for 100 years on a big boat in the front yard, hundreds of miles from the nearest sea. What is this for, Dad? It's for a flood. What's a flood? Well, I don't know, but God says we're going to have one. Now, because it had not rained before, that's, by the way, why people lived so much longer, lived hundreds of years prior to the flood, because the atmosphere was actually changed in the flood. And they didn't live as long after God allowed rains and things like that to happen. But he obeyed without question. And aren't you glad he did? I mean, the human race is here because Noah obeyed when he didn't understand it. I mean, I'm sure the kids are going, can't you get a different hobby, Dad? This is embarrassing. Now, there was another guy who did the same thing, and his name was Abraham. And in verse 8, it was by faith that made Abraham obey when God called him to go out to a country that God had promised him. And he left his own country without knowing where he was going. Now, when God says this to Abraham, he's 75 years old. And he's living in Iraq. Did you know that? He lived in a city called Ur. How'd you like to live in a city called Ur? Where are you from? Ur. Sounds like gas. Ur. God says, Abraham, I'm going to ask you to leave. You're 75 years old. It's time for Social Security. It's now time for social insecurity. Just when you're ready to hang it up and you go play golf, I'm saying, get it down and dust it off. You're going for the ride of your life. And I'm going to make you the father of a great nation, Abraham, if you will obey me when you don't understand it. I want you to head west to a country you've never been to, and I'm going to make you of a nation that you've never heard of. And God says, I'm not going to give you the details. So Abraham says, where are you going? He said, well, you've never heard of this place. How will I get there? Well, just head out. How long will it take? I'll let you know. How long, when will I get there? I'll let you know. Would you do that? At 75 years of age, head off on the greatest adventure of your life. The result is he became the father of a great nation. The point is this: obedience always involves taking some kind of risk. You see, some people want a guarantee of success before they obey what God tells them to do, but God won't do it because that's not faith. There was no guarantee of success when Kay and I moved to Southern California from Texas to start Saddleback Church. It was 1979. Kay and I were 25 years old, and God says, go to Southern California, the Saddleback Valley, and start a church. Now, there were many reasons to doubt. First, I had never been the pastor of a senior pastor of a church, so I didn't know, how would I know how to start a church? Second, we didn't have any money. Third, I was only 25 years old. And fourth, I didn't know a single person in the Saddleback Valley. And when we moved here, there was no guarantee that this thing would succeed. It was simply an act of obedience. And I remember asking Kay, What do you think about doing this? I think God's calling us to Southern California. And she said, well, I'm scared to death, but I believe in God and I believe in you, so let's go. I've often thought, what would have happened? How would history be different if she had said, let's don't go? If rather than obeying God when we didn't understand it, we'd said, we're scared to death. We have no guarantee of success, so let's not do it. How many lives would not be changed? How many churches would not be blessed? How many families would be split up that were saved and stayed together? Faith is obedience when you don't understand it. Now, in the Bible, in just the New Testament alone, there are 1,050 commands, and they're all there for your benefit. And God says things like this: love your enemies. Well, that's not particularly easy. Or forgive the people who really hurt you. Well, that's not an easy one either. And honestly, there are a lot of commands in the Bible that seem to be difficult, unreasonable, unrealistic, unachievable, and actually seem impossible. And God says things like, you should save sex for marriage. Now, when he says these kind of things, it's not because he's being a meanie, but because God knows best what will make you happy more than you do. And the question is always a test. Do I trust God or do I trust my gut? Do I trust the word or do I trust the world? This is a test of faith. Will I obey? And every time God tells you something to do, it's a test of your faith. Will I believe that God knows what to do? Because honestly, I don't always feel like doing what God tells us to do. When somebody hurts me, I don't feel like forgiving them. I want to get even. I want to get back at them. I want to retaliate. As a kid, did your parents ever ask you to do something that in your mind seemed unreasonable? Yes. And did you ever ask them, why should I do this? Yes. And they would say, because we had the same parents. Because I say so. What kind of answer is that? That's no reason. That's just an excuse. Looking back, were some of the things that your parents told you to do because they said so really the right thing? Yes. Can you see in hindsight now how they were wise? Yes. God will ask you those questions the rest of your life, not just when you're a kid. When you're 80 years old, God is going to be saying to you, I want you to do this. And you're going to go, why? That doesn't make sense. And God will say, because I say so. This is a test. Faith is believing when I don't see it, but it's also obeying when I don't understand it. And the point is, if I learn to do what God tells me to do without question, even when it seems absurd, even when it seems the exact opposite of my natural tendency, then I'm going to grow in faith and I'm going to get blessed. On the other hand, if you do not learn to obey when you don't understand it, when God says, I want you to do this, whether it seems like the wise thing or not, I want you to do this. If you don't do that, you will miss so many blessings in life that God had in store for you. I once asked Kay when I was preparing for this message, could she think of a time when she obeyed God without understanding it? And she said, yeah, when you asked me to marry you. Just think of the blessing she would have missed. Baby, oh baby, oh baby. What of the blessing I would have missed? 31 years later, was that a good call? Absolutely, yeah. We could just dismiss now. That's the end of the sermon. Faith is believing when I don't see it, obeying when I don't understand it. Number three, it's persisting when I don't feel like it. Now, if there's ever, friends, ever a value we need to teach the next generation, it is this one. Persistence. Never giving up when you feel like it. Because we live in a culture that is manipulated by its moods. We live in a culture that has been taught, if it feels good, do it. If you don't feel like doing it, don't do it. Do only what you feel like doing. And as a result, we are ruled by our emotions. And that is a mistake. The truth is, doing the right thing is not always the thing you feel like doing.
Pastor Rick Warren with a powerful look at what it means to leave a lasting legacy. If you've missed any part of this broadcast, including portions we didn't have time for today, you can go to rickwarren.org and listen online anytime or download the Daily Hope with Rick Warren podcast on your computer, smartphone, or tablet. That's rickwarren.org. Pastor Rick will be back in just a moment with a final word of encouragement, so please stay with us. It's no secret that the spiritual and moral foundation that built our country is crumbling to the core. Our nation is deteriorating, and many people are without hope. We need a dramatic awakening in our nation to save our people and restore them to spiritual health. If you share this burden, we would deeply appreciate your support in taking Pastor Rick's Daily Hope broadcast to hopeless and hurting people across the country and around the globe. That's why we want to invite you to work shoulder to shoulder with us in bringing our nation back from the brink by investing monthly as a partner in hope. Your sustained monthly support will help us continue to broadcast the life-transforming message of the gospel across our nation, on the air and online. And to say thanks when you give monthly to Daily Hope, Pastor Rick has asked us to send you a signed copy of the hardback gift edition of his devotional book, Daily Inspiration for the Purpose-Driven Life. So if you feel led to become a partner in hope, please let us know by calling 800-600-5004. That's 1-800-600-5004 today. Or by visiting www.rickwarren.org. That's rickwarren.org. And thanks in advance for your support. Your gift to Daily Hope will help us share the hope of Christ with people around the world. And now, here's Pastor Rick with a closing thought.
Did you know that the Bible promises that wherever God sends His word out, it will always produce results? It's a promise. It's a promise in Isaiah 55:11, where God says, "When I send my word out, it always produces fruit. It always accomplishes what I want it to, and it prospers everywhere I send it." That's in the Living Bible. I love that passage, and this is why we do what we do here at Daily Hope. We're constantly sending out God's word to give hope to people who have no hope, and to tell them about the love and the hope of Jesus Christ. Now, you know, we couldn't do this without your support. It's your prayers, it's your financial support that helps God send His word across the country and all around the world through Daily Hope broadcasts. You know, God has really blessed this ministry, and we say to Him be the glory, but we still have many more people to reach. There are over 7 billion people in the world, and every one of them needs to know Jesus Christ. Many of them have never even heard the name of Jesus. And so this is our faith goal. You know, we started Daily Hope Ministry because we want to reach what we call the unreached, unengaged people groups. That's the about 3,000 remaining tribes in the world that have no Bible, no believer, and no body of Christ. And there's still about 3,000 tribes where the name of Jesus has not been proclaimed. How do we get there? By taking this broadcast to what we call near neighbors and encouraging them to then go in and reach those people, we hope to one day finish and help complete the Great Commission as doing our part with everybody else who's doing their part to follow the command of Christ. As we tell others about the love of Jesus, God helps us to trust Him even more. And of course, the Bible says, the more you help others, the more God blesses you. And so thank you for your gifts. I know that God is blessing you and will continue to bless you as you bless others. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs that he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Just want you to know that I love you. I thank God for you. I care for you. And I'm praying for you. God bless you.
If you share this burden, we would deeply appreciate your support in taking Pastor Rick's Daily Hope broadcast to hopeless and hurting people across the country and around the globe. So if you feel led to become a partner in hope, please let us know by calling 800-600-5004 or by visiting www.rickwarren.org. Your gift as a partner in hope will help us share the hope of Christ with people around the world. This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.